Did Romney or Obama score with independent voters? That's what the people around them want to know. Second debate in the books. Who was the winner? Who was the loser in this one? America Tonight. How you doing in all those nooks and crannies across this great land? It's our election day coming up November 6th. I hope no matter what your ideology is, I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, sick of it all, please go and vote. I think it's so important to vote because I've been to places where people were afraid to vote, and I've also been to places where they stuffed the ballot boxes and threatened people. We live in a great country, and we still have a free society that rocks, that we need to protect, even if we're not thrilled with some of the things that are happening in our political system. It's power to the people, and there's a way to change all that, but you need to vote. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. In fact, you know, there is a third-party presidential debate. That's happening on the 23rd. We're going to have somebody on to talk about that. So there is a movement, the third party, the real push for the third party. So who won the debate? How do we break it down? There were interruptions. There were a lot of questions that didn't get heard. There were plain speaking people in the town hall-like audience at Hofstra University, which I love that, because, you know, they weren't coached. They forgot what they were going to ask. They had to go to their paper. It was great. I think that was great. The questions were picked out by the moderator, but they were written by the people. So the way they were asked was much different. Everybody always wants to get a handle on the winner and the loser. It's like sports politics. I tell you that. You got to have a winner. You got to have a loser, even if you kind of think it's a draw. I kind of think it was a draw. Money, of course, came up. Jobs, economy, energy. Assault weapons ban, immigration. Boy, it's much different than I thought. Foreign policy, very little. A little bit. The Libya situation came up, and Romney missed a chance to really jump on Obama's throat. He didn't do that. He did it in the case of some other things, like the economy and the deficit and taxes, all of that. But he didn't really do it with the Libyan terror comments and when the administration knew what they knew and security and all that sort of stuff. So to me, in tracking this, watching it from end to end, watching it through a little bit the second time, I have to say, to me, it's a draw. I know everybody's screaming, oh, Obama won, Obama wins this one. CNBC did a snap poll, and they said Obama wins 62-35. CNN did a poll, and they have Obama winning this, but I don't agree. CBS gives Obama the win 37-30%. It's because he was so lousy the first time around, which he admitted and made jokes about, and Democrats who were pushing the president and pushing some of the themes admitted that it was a rough time for the president the first time around. So because he did so poorly the first time, he scores higher the second time. I think it was a draw. If I were just totally being objective and scoring points, that's how I look at it. The bottom line is, does anybody get a bounce out of this? Does Obama get a bounce? He staves off elimination is what I think he does, because if he had gotten pummeled again and looked like he was out of sorts and couldn't summarize himself correctly on points, I think he would have gotten clobbered. But he didn't do that. But there were some interesting things that came up, including foreign investments, because so much is made about China and also Romney's money and where Romney's money is. And here's a little slice of that portion of this town hall style debate.
Let me mention something else the president said. It was a moment ago, and I didn't get a chance to, when he was describing Chinese investments and so forth.
Candy, hold on a second.
Mr. President, I'm still speaking.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to continue.
You can make it short. See all these people? They've been waiting for you. Could you
make a point? Any investments I have over the last 8 years have been managed by a blind trust. And I understand they do include investments outside the United States, including in Chinese companies. Mr. President, have you looked at your pension? Have you looked at your pension?
I've got to say.
Mr. President, have you looked at your pension?
You know, I don't look at my pension. It's not as big as yours, so it doesn't
let me give you some advice.
I don't check it that often.
Let me give you some advice. Look at your pension. You also have investments in Chinese companies. Yeah. You also have investments outside the United States.
Yeah.
You also have investments through a Cayman's Trust.
All right, so there you go. He came back at him and said, you know, obviously you have them. You heard the little joke there and whatnot. The interesting moment, you could hear Candy Crowley jump in there. She full-on jumped into the debate on the Libya issue, and she's getting creamed by a lot of press people for jumping in or interjecting herself into that particular question. That was the one time where they were going back and forth about Libya, and this is all over the blogs, any of the political blobs. They are blobs, but they're like blogs, and this is the heaviest thing that's coming down in all the blogging. So this is, we're going back to September 11th and the U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens and the three other Americans who were murdered in Benghazi in the consulate, and it was on the anniversary of 9/11. Romney challenged Obama on what he was saying, that he had labeled it an act of terrorism rather than blaming the anti-Muslim video when he did it, when all that happened. Specifically, Romney said, and this is the quote, "I think it's interesting that the president just said the day after the attack he went to the Rose Garden, said this was an attack of terror. I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror." So she jumped into this and looked like she was correcting Romney and said, he did in fact, sir. And Obama even said, whoa, he knew this was a good opening. He said, can you say that a little louder, Candy? And she said he did call it an act of terror. He did as well take 2 weeks or so for the whole idea of there being a riot out there about the tape to come out. You're correct about that. So that was strange because, you know, usually, of course, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't jump into the middle of it. That's the idea of the whole debate thing. So she can fairly be blasted, no matter what your ideology is, I think, for stepping into the debate, because she clearly was stopping him from getting clobbered for the bungled Libya situation. So that's the thing. And she shouldn't have inserted herself in that exchange. She should have just let it go to where it was going to go and move on from there. And she's gonna get called out on that, and I'm sure she's already getting called out on that. And there were other moments during this debate, I think, that were interesting, and some of the back and forth was interesting, some of the attacks and whatnot. We're gonna let you get a chance to chip in here. You want to take a swing at what happened in the debate? What do you think? Who really steps away from this thing with a few maybe extra votes in their pocket if it's tight? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. And oh yeah, there was an earthquake in Boston. We'll tell you about that too. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment solid basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
My name is Gary Johnson. I approve this message. Of the many people running for president in 2012, only three will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November. For those of you worried I'll take votes away from the Democrat, and to those of you afraid I'll take votes away from the Republican, I say good. They deserve to lose your vote. Take as many votes as possible away from the people in both parties, keeping us in a state of perpetual war, increasing unsustainable debt, record joblessness, and a bipartisan economic death wish, ruining America for 330 million of us. Be libertarian with me for one election. If after 4 years you decide honest, effective government doesn't work for you, you can always vote failure back into office again. Live free.
Paid for by GaryJohnson2012.com.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning.
Ahead, if anybody after this second debate. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or you can weigh in through snail mail, americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you're in. The Los Angeles Times says aggressive Obama stays on track. Stays on attack in second debate, kind of like a track. And then they go on to say that Obama, you know, wins this one pretty much. That's not a surprise given the Los Angeles Times. And then they break down, you know, who wins and what ultimately happens here. A couple of interesting things happened. We're going to talk about some of the details, the drilling leases, the production, what happened there, the jobs record, all of that, balancing the budget, Libya detail I mentioned already, and what about automatic weapons? So let's go to RC in Illinois. Hey, RC.
Hello, Classic Katie. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, buddy. What do you think? What did you think of this debate? Did you watch any of it?
I listened to it on the radio.
Good.
Which is probably a mistake. Because I talked to a good buddy of mine and said, didn't you see the positioning and stuff? I said, no, I listened to it on the radio. I had other stuff I was doing. I thought the moderator was pretty poor.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know why they can't control. And I know there's big egos up there. You got two guys, but they got to take control. As far as I'm concerned,
I agree with you. I agree with you. If you're the moderator, it's probably got to be hard, but you got to be able to steer the ship. And how do you do that when they won't stop? Like you said, two big egos are trying to clobber each other, especially after the first debate, and now this is a town hall.
I don't know why they don't show a little monitor thing on the TV box or for these people to realize their time's up.
Yeah, zap them. Just zap
them. It's insane. They let them roll on. And as far as the radio positioning was, I thought it was neutral, except I think this lady let Obama just roll on and on.
Yeah.
And so,
she did.
But like I said, I did not see the dance, so I don't. Okay.
I love that. I love that you did the radio thing, because it would have been cool to hear it on the radio versus watching the tube, because there's things you missed, but you already you had the right opinion as far as the interruptions, why there wasn't control, and how it seemed like Obama was able to get away with a little bit more. So your analysis from that perspective, RC, was right on, as though you had watched it.
You know, and we got one more to go, and that's fine. I don't think this is going to change many people's swing votes. One way or the other. I mean, there'll be some independents out there. They'll probably look at the last one, but those people they're not gonna tune in anyway. They're gonna go to the poll and they're gonna boom, okay?
Yeah, they're gonna pull. Yeah, or touch the screen or whatever, yeah.
I mean, they're gonna vote the way they're gonna vote, and
yeah.
I think they've already made up their minds and whatever. So we'll see what comes down the pipe, but like I said, I wish I'd have seen the dance. That's all I can say, sweetheart.
Yeah, you guys have to tune in next time, then you can compare the radio to the television. RC, thanks, man. It's interesting. It's in a different way. See, you keep coming back to the sports analogy. It's like watching baseball versus listening to it on the radio. And I actually like to listen to baseball on the radio, because I think sometimes the announcers are a little bit better, and maybe it's because they have to describe more, so you hear more of the action, sort of. And also because I got to hear, like, the great Vin Scully in Los Angeles and a couple of other places that I live, Richie Ashburn in Philadelphia, and they were so good at pausing and letting the action take over and then throwing in that magic. This debate wasn't, you know, if I were scoring Candy Crowley, and I don't really have much of an opinion either way on her if I were looking at her overall, her work. She's covered politics for a while, and maybe it is like a freight train and you just, you know, you can't stop the train. You're trying and you're jumping in and they're interrupting each other and you just can't stop them. But it seemed, it didn't seem like it was completely off the tracks, but it seemed as though she couldn't corral it. She couldn't pull it back. And I don't know, what do? Zap them if they go over time? And it was a town hall format, too. So it's a little different than being there on the podium, having two podiums, and that has that stiffer kind of feel. It was different in throwing in the people that were part of the audience that were asking the questions. I like the questioning that way, because you don't get that reporter spin on it. No matter what any reporter says, especially these days, there seems to be slants. Or if there's not a slant, there's the adding on so much to the question. It's not, here's the question, it's a 5-minute question. So you didn't get that with the people that asked the questions, and I like that. And the idea, though, everybody's saying how it's a fight, the swing. It was like a boxing match, but it was more like dancing around in the ring. You know, it was more like a Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier fight in the early days, in a way. But it wasn't as raucous, I think, as people are making it out to be. I don't understand that. I didn't get that impression at all. I taped this, so I'm going to go back and rewatch it again when I get off the air to see if I'm picking that up. the thing is, the fact is that Obama was more aggressive, so that made a difference because he came out that way. So you could say that, but you know, only one point where they were kind of close to each other, they thought, oh, are they gonna draw blood here? But that's it, and it was just because of their proximity. All right, so here's the scoop on the earthquake. I would be remiss if I didn't give you the payoff on that. After all, it's like a TV anchor when you watch and they say, the world has collapsed in one area, and then they never tell you what happened. Is that the worst? I hate that. They suck you in so you can watch what it was that happened, and then, lo and behold, you never see it. So there was an earthquake that hit New England, the New England area. To be specific about it, it hit southern Maine and the New England states. It went as far as Connecticut. Boston was hit. No big-time injuries or damage that anyone knows of. It hit at 7 o'clock after 7 o'clock, 4.6, then they downgraded it to 4.0, 3 miles west of Hollis Center, Maine, and about 3 miles deep. That's always important because then you can tell how much damage might happen. They say that there were people, I love the description of when people don't know what happened, there were about 20 customers in a pizza place in Waterboro. And when they heard a loud bang, and the building actually shook, and they ran outside because they, you know, it's the loudest. They say it's the loudest bang they've ever heard in their life, the earthquake, and they didn't know what it was, and that's what it turned out to be. So it rattled some people's nerves, but no major damage. That's the good news there. It seems like there's a lot of earthquakes. East Coast quakes are so rare, and usually because they're so rare. This is an interesting phenomenon about it. They're wider. They hit a wider area. Remember, and I had my mother on the show for a few minutes to talk about this in New Jersey. They had a quake that was 5.8 back in August of 2011, and that actually was centered in Virginia, and they could feel that up and down the coast, New York City, New Jersey, Boston. And apparently, you know, this is just, we know it. It's just a rare thing. It's very different than the West Coast, than what happens on the West Coast, like the San Andreas Fault and, of course, the fears and some of the terrible earthquakes that have been there. But interesting that now they've had a couple of quakes in the East, and it's just not what you're used to hearing about or seeing. And, of course, the calls came in all over the place to any of the public information type people, but no major damage, just shook up nerves, like I said. Another East Coast quake. There's a different kind of quake going on at Hofstra University, and it was the town hall style kind of debate. Who do you think won the second time around, Obama or Mitt Romney? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking?
That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Is this what your bedroom sounds like at night? What if you could stop the snoring instantly without nose strips, mouth guards, or a procedure? Now you can with Snorebreak. Snorebreak is a patented liner for your pillow that's guaranteed to reduce you or your partner's snoring from the very first night. The secret is the soothing oils infused into Snorebreak that improve breathing while you're asleep. It's the same technology used in hospitals to stop snoring, available for your home for the first time ever. Snorebreak is soft and virtually undetectable, and in the largest survey of its kind, Snorebreak reduced snoring for an amazing 74% of participants. For a limited time, you can try Snorebreak risk-free before it's in stores. Put an end to snoring. Get your risk-free trial of Snorebreak while supplies last. Just call 1-800-475-5481. That's 1-800-475-5481. Call 1-800-475-5481.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Fascinating new thing. You delight me, and I know you're speaking of me. Beside me, I want you to love me. I'm surprised you never told before that you love me and you're perfect and that somebody wants you.
These candidates, that's the name of the game. If they win, they get the love, right? So does Obama get more love 4 more years of Barack Obama, or does Mitt Romney swoop in and surprise a whole bunch of people and win this thing? If you were handicapping the possibilities a year ago and you were being really honest, even if you are hardcore conservative, if you were being honest with yourself, you'd have to be a little bit concerned. Now, all of a sudden, clearly this is neck and neck. It really is. Unless people are completely lying in every poll and every litmus test that we have leading up to November 6th. I would have to think that some of these numbers are correct, and it is that close. It's tightened up. Because this is the thing, and the Democrats know this. The economy, the economy, the economy. Unemployment fell according to the numbers that we have, right, 7.8. But that's not the true number, because we keep saying it. The problem is the underemployed, the people who've just flat out given up because they're so depressed they can't. They're like, forget it. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to figure something else out. I'll get paid under the table. I'll rely on my family. I'll rely on my savings, whatever. But I'm bailing on looking because I can't find anything. That person, boom, they're not part of the equation, the number, and you just start to ask around. Some people are doing well. Some people are starting to turn a corner, but there's a whole bunch of people that cannot claim that and are really, really struggling to make ends meet. They're trying to downsize. They're trying to figure out ways to make it happen. What's interesting is because of the economy not being so great, you have people that are starting their own businesses. So you wonder, with the right climate, if enough of those people are encouraged, get the right kind of leg up, so to speak, and have the right formula, it may end up boding well for them. As we do our business segment, and we've had so many people on talking about that. If you connect on the right force to do this, you connect with what you really want to do, who knows, it could in the end change the fates and fortunes of a few people. But too many people find themselves not anywhere near a fortune, nowhere even close to making it. And that has, I think, really pushed Romney, the small business guy, the tax situation, all that has really pushed Romney close to Barack Obama, and in some cases surpassing him. So now you have the second debate. A lot of things were talked about, as I mentioned, including money, 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 Detroit and their situation of what happened with GM and the whole bankruptcy deal. Romney and Obama went round and round on that. Take a listen.
And one thing that the president said, which I want to make sure that we understand, he said that I said we should take Detroit bankrupt. And that's right. My plan was to have the company go through bankruptcy like 7-Eleven did at Macy's and Continental Airlines and come out stronger. And I know he keeps saying, you wanted to take Detroit bankrupt. Well, the president took Detroit bankrupt. You took General Motors bankrupt. You took Chrysler bankrupt. So when you say that I wanted to take the auto industry bankrupt, you actually did. And I think it's important to know that was a process that was necessary to get those companies back on their feet so they could start hiring more people. That was precisely what I recommended and ultimately what happened.
Let me give the president a chance. Go ahead.
Candy, what Governor Romney said just isn't true. He wanted to take them into bankruptcy without providing them any way to stay open. And we would have lost 1 million jobs. And that, don't take my word for it. Take the executives at GM and Chrysler, some of whom are Republicans, may even support Governor Romney. But they'll tell you his prescription wasn't going to work. And Governor Romney says he's got a 5-point plan. Governor Romney doesn't have a 5-point plan. He has a 1-point plan. And that plan is to make sure that folks at the top play by a different set of rules. That's been his philosophy in the private sector. That's been his philosophy as governor. That's been his philosophy as a presidential candidate. You can make a lot of money and pay lower tax rates than somebody who makes a lot less. You can ship jobs overseas and get tax breaks for it. You can invest in a company, bankrupt it, lay off the workers, strip away their pensions, and you still make money. That's exactly the philosophy that we've seen in place for the last decade. That's what's been squeezing middle-class families. And we have fought back for 4 years to get out of that mess. The last thing we need to do is to go back to the very same policies that got us there.
All right, so here we go. That's a little bit of what happened during the debate. Ultimately, I think it's a tie. Some people say that it's a win for Obama. And I guess if it's a tie, does the win go to the president who struggled the first time around? Maybe you could make that argument. And the bottom line is this election, if we want to use a sports analogy, which I weave through this entire show, it is a jump ball. It's a jump ball. It can go either way. So whoever gets out in mass to the polls where they haven't already done early voting, absentee ballots, any of that, if they get out November 6th, whoever pushes it to the limit, whether it's the Obama people, people voting for Obama or Romney, I mean, that's it. That's the whole thing. That's who wins. It's a jump ball. That's what it is. I mean, listen, it's a jump ball. Obama just had to show up and had to be much better than he was last time and not look like he was lost in the sauce, and he did. He showed up, and then there was that back and forth and all that other sort of stuff. So, of course, Obama was going to be crowned the victor in this one. It's a no-brainer based on what happened the first time around. But this election's at stake, and it is one of the questions that you have to ask yourself. Really look at all the things that are discussed, whether we're talking about where are we headed as a nation that's reliant on oil, where are we headed with jobs, what are we doing about corporate tax rates and outsourcing a lot of our jobs to other parts of the world. There has to be incentives for business. We're a capitalistic society. That's how this works. That's how we work in the United States. That's what has made a great lifestyle for a lot of people for a long time. And we have the ebbs and the flows, and we're really in a bad point now because we owe too much. It's all on the credit card. And it's like Dave Ramsey, my pal, says, get out the scissors and we got to cut it in half. And no one's willing to do that. And we keep going down the garden path and our shoes are off and we are stepping on stickers. It is not good. It isn't. You can't just ignore that. I mean, I love it when people dismiss the whole deficit thing of, well, what we can do is, you know, we have to raise the debt ceiling. Just when we have to do that, I mean, we can't default, for goodness sake. So we have to raise the debt ceiling again. And we have to bail out the banks. Banks too big to fail. Because why, for heaven's sakes, would we let the people who have the money figure out how they can manipulate it back to the way what they were? Oh, no, no, no. We'll bail them out. But we're not going to bail out the American people, and then we're going to blame them. So we just can't keep doing that. 10, 20 years, ask yourself where you are in your life. Are you getting ready to retire? Are you 20, 30 years away from retiring? At every age, whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, you know, this hits everybody in a very personal way. What do you want to see for America? That's why it's a jump ball. So it's another debate, but this is absolutely a jump ball. Obama might have been the comeback kid in this one. Who's going to be left standing on November 7th? The odds-on favorite is always, I think, the incumbent. And Obama had that going for him 6 months ago. Now, not so sure. I mean, this is a deadlock, means you're really very uncertain of the outcome because of so many personal stories. And that's the thing. 23 million Americans want a place to go. They want a meaningful existence, a job. They have underemployment, unemployment. I can't say enough about that underemployment either. And it hurts your self-esteem. Because what are you doing? What is it you're doing day after day? Sending out resumes to, who knows, monster.com, wherever, and you're one of thousands of resumes. And unfortunately, this is what happens with so many people. I mean, they're not going down the street to mix it up and rub elbows with people who are going to get them in somewhere because they're one of thousands of people. So this is where we're at. Jump ball. Town hall style debate. What are people going to be talking about after what we're talking about is how many. You had an audience of 80 undecided voters who were selected by Gallup to be part of this crowd at Hofstra. Interesting, huh? 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. Some odds and ends on the flip side.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water, but do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
And be a part of America tonight. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. John is listening to us in Montreal. Hey, John.
How you doing, Kate?
Good. What do you think?
I was telling your call screener, I actually listened to it on the radio, so I didn't have the body, physical, you know, cues and all that stuff. But I did get, just for the gaffe on the terrorist threat?
Yeah, the Libya stuff, yeah.
The Libya stuff, that was a big gaffe. I'm glad Romney jumped on it pretty quickly. And I think it's he was right in spelling out that it was pretty much covered up for 15 days, and it was the first time that Obama ever actually identified it as such. But I'm a little confused as to your question. About it being a toss-up. Not toss-up, but jump ball.
Jump ball, yeah.
Yeah. Specifically what? As just to the debate or to the choice of where, I live in Canada, but where do the United States want to go? Because I think it's a clear choice. You know, what it's $6 trillion now, the debt. I mean,
yeah.
It's just going to go further. With
oh, yeah. I think that you can't, you just cannot deny this deficit. I think it's a jump ball, meaning that before Obama controlled the game, he did. He controlled the game a year ago, or however, if we want to go back even further than that. Even though people were frustrated,
right.
He still clearly looked like, hey, no matter what you think, even though there's people that are upset, even though the Tea Party's formed, even though the midterm elections 2 years ago, he still really, if we're being honest, has the edge and he's going to win it. Now he's gotten, because he's, you know, the basketball player guy, he's gotten to the point where he had the game in hand and it's a jump ball, so Romney could take it is what I'm saying.
Okay. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Because,
yeah.
I mean, after the first debate, I listened to that one as well, and a lot of the media types were saying that there's a lot of math thrown around, a lot of numbers and stuff. Well, that's important stuff. I mean, you have to digest the numbers in order to understand where it is that, you know, in another 4 years, where the United States is going to go. I mean, Romney has a five-point attack, and he's going to unleash companies that want to come and invest in the United States. I mean, it's just more wealth for everyone. And that's the way to go, unleash what it is. I mean, in Canada, we have, as Romney correctly stated, companies have a lower tax rate. And so we have a lot of investment here, and we're doing fairly well. There are a lot of regulations, but we're doing fairly well. And I think that's the way to go. It's just a clear choice. I mean, it's just very clear.
Yeah, you gotta listen. You know, we're not. It's not. It'd be great if we could all live on barter like we did centuries ago, I guess. But it's not how we exist. It's not how the world works. And you've got offspring. You have other family members. You have. You have to survive. How do you want to survive? To pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you have to be able to have some sort of opportunity, and the opportunity has to be there because you need people, you need worker bees, you need people that'll work, and some people have to fall into that category.
Absolutely.
They have to have the opportunity.
Okay, one more point is the class, that word class, I mean, Obama has taken it to an art level now, but it's so destructive. I mean, the people that are going to create jobs are the people with wealth. That's
yeah.
the way it works. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, because how do you get the money? Right now, John, excellent point. How do you get the money? Let's say I'm an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur, and you have the idea for a company. Well, good luck going to the bank. You better be able to put up a lot. You better be able to put up a lot of something for them to be able to pour out the money to you. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially the banks are very shy about lending. So, to your point, you've got to be a big corporation if you're going to create a massive amount of jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no question about it. John, great caller as always. Thanks for the call. You know, that's it. And since the truth is there, I've said this before, we're a capitalist country, and maybe you don't want us to be a capitalist country, but this is the backbone of America. And you can create wealth. I said this before, that the good news is in a way, in a twisted way, that people are so desperate, they're pursuing things they wouldn't have pursued before. And some of those people, not all, but some of those people will have success with it, but on a smaller level. You know, they may be able to, their business might grow and they can hire four or five people, something like that. But a massive majority, of people will need to work, need to be, as I would say, a worker bee. They need to support. That's how they're supporting themselves. I mean, think of the people that had those great jobs on the line. Think of people who had jobs in manufacturing plants at all different levels. They might have even been middle management or whatever. Well, those jobs go away, and those skills, I mean, that's what the skill is of the person. And they don't have the opportunity because so many of those jobs went overseas. You know, therein lies the rub and the problem. And if you set it up as what he's saying, where the rich are just so evil, the bottom line is they might be making a boatload more money than the average person working for them, but the average person working for them might have been doing okay too. And if you're going to have jobs created that way, you have to have some that's creating those jobs. I mean, that's the point. Then if nobody's creating those jobs, then that's there's less opportunity, and you get the picture. Obviously, this is what's happened. That's why the underemployment, all that kind of stuff. That's why people get excited when they talk about something's come back to a town or some new industry has come there. It's like my example of the Irish people that I met that couldn't stop talking to me about Apple and LinkedIn and the technology. The guy I sat next to on the plane was Turkish and said that he never thought he would. Now he's coming to the United States. He's going to work in California. And said that, you know, he works for Google, but he got that opportunity because the company was there in Ireland and they were hiring people from Europe. So he was hired to go and work for Google and said he couldn't have been, you know, more thankful. And he's had all these friends that work for them. Well, those are jobs that aren't jobs in the United States and an American company. And they save a ton of money on that because they don't have to pay any corporate tax there for 4 years. And if it were more attractive to stay in the United States, you know, guess what? They would stay. It's not that they don't have to pay any tax, but paying 35 and even considering more, they're not going to do it because they have shareholders and they're beholden to shareholders. They got to make some profit. If their earnings report comes out and they're bleak every single time, that'll tank them. And, you know, so the cycle goes round and round and round. I promised an odd and an end, and this is a very odd end. Bin Laden's driver's conviction was reversed. Lost in the sauce of everything that happened with the debates, there were, of course, there was the earthquake in the East Coast, and then there was the big story about the Bin Laden driver. A federal appeals court tossed out the conviction, and that's a huge blow to the way we do the U.S. military commissions. Salim Hamadan was convicted back in 2008 of providing material support for terrorism. That was directly what it was. And in a unanimous decision, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia reversed it, overturned the conviction. The court said that Hamdan was found guilty based on conduct that took place from 96 to 2001, but the charge of material support for terrorism only came into effect with the passage of the Military Commissions Act of 2006. Wow. So the sentence of 5.5 years in prison, he got credit for having served almost all of that while detained before it. He was transferred to Yemen in 2008, released from jail there in 2009, and was appealing his convictions. So it gets overturned. How about that? Wow. Like I said, that truly fits into the category of odds and ends, without a doubt.
If somebody came to you, Governor, with a plan that said, here, I want to spend $7 or $8 trillion, and it's, we're going to pay for it, but we can't tell you until maybe after the election how we're going to do it, you wouldn't have taken such a sketchy deal. And neither should you, the American people, because the math doesn't add up.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.